It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American. I shall ask the question. Hi, Ruth. What's going on out there?
Well, we are in the midst of a referendum here in Kent. Started at 6 o'clock this morning. This is to vote on whether or not the town would like to pass an ordinance allowing speed cameras. It is a hot issue. Lots of comments on both sides, but those who are opposed are pretty strongly opposed. The selectmen came up with this idea. It's patterned after something that passed in Washington, Connecticut, which is the first town in the state to allow it. The state passed a law allowing these ordinances just recently, and so that's why they're coming to the fore. They're talking about installing them here on Route 7, both north and south, but virtually affecting the center of town. As you know, Main Street is our Route 7, or Route 7 is our Main Street. The idea is to take photos of license plates that come through town, and those that violate the speed limit will be fined. And, you know...
But they're taking photos of every license plate.
Correct.
Sorry.
So you have to sift through those that are...
You also have everybody's license. You also know everybody who's gone through the town of Kent.
Wait a minute. Every license plate, whether you're speeding or not?
Yep.
Well,
how are they going to know?
I think they do.
I'm sorry. I'm also enjoying very much the congestion pricing interaction in New York City, where you essentially cannot go below 60th Street in Manhattan without paying something. And normal people, you'll forgive me, in my opinion, people who are normal are like, yeah, we'll just find another way. And other people are sitting there clutching their pearls and da-da-da-da-da and not coming into the city and, you know, doing all the things that it's, you know, it's, and while everybody's busy doing that, except for the normal people who are just going about their lives, they don't realize that they are paying massive amounts of taxes to live in a place that's telling them where they can and cannot go, which is just baffling to me, but...
All right. Well,
we've already cleared up the fact that I'm different. So
Kent's always just trying to tell them how fast they can drive at this point.
Yeah.
Not
you
where
know,
to
Mike,
go.
You know, Mike, you bring up a good point. I am not sure if they do every license plate.
Joe brought up the point. It just raised the hair on my neck going, what, every license plate?
Yeah,
it seems like it should trigger when they're speeding.
I think that's what it does.
I
think you're right.
But that's probably worth checking.
Certainly is, but I think...
Otherwise, you'd have a video camera in there just going all the time.
Yeah, no, I think it triggers when it goes above 10 miles over the speed limit.
Well, you know what? One of the things, too, that I wonder about, because I don't recall... I thought at one point in time they didn't always require us to have a license plate on the front of the car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, if you remove that license plate... they don't have a way to get you, I don't think.
No, you get caught on your way past the thing.
Yeah, they got
it. Does it go both ways?
Yes, I believe so. I think they can catch it.
Oh, that changed a long time ago. Well, the first time you get in the mail your easy pass, that's why people have ghost plates and stuff.
Ah, there you go. Well, we're asking all the questions that we should have asked before people were voting.
That we should have asked, exactly. Yeah,
I love that.
So anyway.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
So we will let you know the results next week.
Right.
And as I say, it's been a spirited and lively discussion throughout the town during the holiday season. And speaking of Main Street, J.P. Giffords has closed here in Kent. Sunday was the last day. They put a sign up saying, come to Sharon. And that's shop.
So they're keeping Sharon going?
They're keeping Sharon going, and the two fellows who own it will be there, basically, and, you know, beefing up the catering and the restaurant. But it's a loss to Kent. They've been here 15 years, and don't know what will fill that empty space right in the center of Main Street.
They were there first, and was that Strobel's before?
That was many things before. I'm not sure. I don't think Strobel's was in that spot. We had a video store. We've had markets.
You know, just depending on how long you've been in a certain place, you know, certain things evolve or change.
Yeah, no, Strobel's was up this couple of storefronts.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's always sad in a town when you lose a business, a long-standing business.
And interesting that they're keeping, because weeks ago I sort of drove by and it looked weirdly quiet in Sharon, and I thought, is there something going on?
Mm. But, it was going on in Kent.
Yeah.
We have several things coming up in the new year. We'll start with on January 8th, community health. Right.
Okay.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Community health and wellness is bringing in a speaker to Housatonic on substance abuse and use. Chris Heron, who's going to talk about his personal story. There are going to be three sessions for 7th and 8th graders at 9 a.m. for high school kids at 12:40, and for parents in the public and community at 6:30 p.m. And speaking of substance, Kent Planning and Zoning Commission is holding an educational forum on cannabis regulations on the 16th of January at 7 p.m. That's going to be a hybrid meeting, and they're going to be a slew of experts talking about it, and that's because the commission is working on rules for cannabis regulations.
Cannabis experts, a bunch of hippies from the 70s, right?
Ooh. they've got pretty interesting credentials, but maybe some of them.
People before, it's turns out that a lot of the hippies from the 60s had some real interesting information that would be worth factoring in. So
60s and 70s,
cannabis in a lot of, there are massive studies. It's once again a question of what you are told by the people who know best. Your body, your endocannabinoid system, is a beautifully intricate and responds beautifully to, it depends on what you put in it or what you spray on it.
All right. We got it.
Yeah, it's an important distinction, let's just say.
Okay.
Well, at any rate, that meeting, again, is on the 16th. And to my knowledge, Canaan is the only town in the region that has passed the allowing of planting and selling cannabis.
I'm not sure about the planting part. I know definitely the retail part.
Yeah, no, I think they have a section out in East Canaan where they said plant, but that was the first they voted on that during the election and allowed it. But I think every other town, I think, still has moratoriums or has voted against allowing such.
Yeah, so,
question, are all of the dispensaries in Sheffield and Great Barrington still thriving?
They're still going. They'll probably continue to, because on the New York side and on the Connecticut side around them, everybody is hesitating on whether to go or not.
Yeah.
And then, of course, New York State actually passed the legislation when Cuomo was governor, but he didn't do anything. It wasn't until Hochul came in that she started activating the process.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, and I know Amenia right now they had first said they didn't want it. Now the new board they got last year does want it, but they've been a year just trying to figure out how to regulate it. So
it's very complicated. And in Canaan, when you got down to it, there were minuscule places where you could
you're also balancing two things, because the state has their layer of regulations, which you have to meet regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the towns look like they want to go further. And like you said, it comes down to the point of where exactly does it go then?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many limitations against where it can't go.
Well, so I know Connecticut allows that you can home grow as well. I don't know if New York State or Massachusetts does.
Oh.
So for the Connecticut, yeah, on the Connecticut side, I believe you can have
Health Foundation and Marshall and the jelly beans.
Up to
and the woman who tried to, it was the tri-state, it was being held at the high school. It was the tri-state, the Chamber of Commerce thing. And, you know, they got into it over the sanitary component of jelly beans, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, we this is always
well,
where,
over
here on my cloud, I'm just going to weigh in one last time, say, it's like, okay, well, do we want something to happen or not?
Yeah, well, I see a lot of times when they're at the local level trying to regulate specifically the retail establishments, people get confused, and somehow, for some reason, I don't know anywhere that they actually allow this, is that you can't consume on property. There are not tables set up like a restaurant. You basically go in, and you buy your product, and you go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, it's
isn't
not
that
a bar.
The way it is in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I know New York State for sure, and the same in Connecticut. It's just a store. You go in and you go out.
You see the lines, you know, coming out of Great Barrington.
There used to be huge lines
only
coffee in 1977 for my boss, I remember.
They can only have so many people in there at a time, too. And it's highly controlled. I mean, the whole facility, it's far more controlled than people realize when they're talking about, oh, coming to my town. People get these visions that everybody from everywhere is going to come in. They're all going to be laying on the street smoking marijuana, and it's just going to be this big, massive festival, when in fact they are tightly controlled from the state levels.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you do at the local level can be more controlled, but it can't be less controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not all the ominous things that people say. And then you have both. You have medical and you have recreational, which are actually two different types of marijuana.
Right.
So,
the legal stuff.
It's worth knowing about.
Maybe I should go over and be an expert on the 16th.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's one of those things I see that people, they hear it. A lot of times it's like what sometimes happens in planning and zoning. They hear something and it just triggers them, and then they hear nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
after a while, you understand why it's designed that way, no pun intended.
No puns here
and
this
then,
morning.
Sharon Housing Trust is coming to the fore again in the news. They have repaid their grant, their bridge loan, which they took out, I believe, for the community. You know, the housing around the community center, and they've also learned that they have been given anonymously a parcel of land at Silver Lake Shores, and on which they're going to build an affordable house. And they're going to explain everything and all their update everybody at a public meeting on the 12th of January, that's Sunday, at Bach Gallery at Sharon Playhouse from 1 to 3. So the public is invited to.
So they're doing it literally on a Sunday?
Yes, they usually do. They've done.
Just checking.
I guess they feel it. You know, Sunday afternoon, people.
No issue. I'm not complaining. I'm just I am just clarifying for anyone who is listening and wants to go to that
yes,
it is on Sunday.
It is on the
12th.
Not
Monday, not,
I guess they have the facility and they feel not much going on a Sunday afternoon. Come and listen. So
the thing is to build an affordable housing unit down on Silver Lake?
Yeah, one house.
I'm going to be interested to see how that
goes
down.
How many people are housed in it?
It's so preliminary. They just got the property. So
I see. Okay.
Just one property. And
Like, you know, houses elsewhere, like Grove Street. And,
you know, I'm sorry. Always with the annoying questions, Jill.
I'm just kind of thinking about the neighborhood there. So I'm just going to be curious to see what the general consensus is from people that go to the meeting.
Yeah,
lens and whatnot. But first things first, in this preliminary announcement of this, we have been gifted this land.
Well, we've had the preliminary ones in Salisbury, and suddenly there's signs up all over the place. So I'll be watching the roads here in Sharon
besides,
the next couple of days
I'm sorry.
to see signs coming up. Save Silver Lake.
Yeah, Yeah, we're saving a lot of stuff.
We are. We're saving a lot, but
we haven't heard anything update on Wake Robin. But of course, everything was slumbering during the holidays. I would assume we'll hear something more eventually.
Are they not? Did they not?
They withdrew, I believe.
I thought they withdrew,
yes.
And that they are going. You know, were
without prejudice, and so far nobody's coming back with anything.
Right. That's why I say they withdrew. Yeah. But we'll.
It'll be a while because you're talking about a lot of redesign
and discussions. And,
yeah, and yeah. We don't even know if they plan to come back. For all we know, they might go up for sale here before it's over.
We never know.
That's right. You never know.
That's why our business is so interesting.
That's right.
A lot of predictions, and maybe not. And so last night started the month with Salisbury Board of Selectmen, Canaan Board of Selectmen, Region 1 Board of Education. Tonight we have Cornwall Board of Selectmen, and tomorrow we have Kent Board of Selectmen.
All right.
So there's no reason.
You've got your skates again.
No, I do.
Starting off.
Do you have those spikes on your skates for ice, or are you good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just so glad that thing went the other way. Anyway.
Yes. And that's where we're at, folks.
All right.
That
well, we are always grateful. And we thank you. And we will look forward to
busy time.
Thank you.
Well, one more quick thing I got to throw in here, though. This coming weekend is the debut of a film called The Jump on the Salisbury Winter Sports Association.
Yes.
They've got 130 seats available at the Colonial Theater in North Canaan. So it's a first come, first serve. But if you want to get on the premiere of a film that's been made all about the Salisbury ski jump, Saturday will be the time.
I'm glad you brought that up.
5:30 p.m. And 5:30 p.m. doors open, 6 o'clock the film starts. But remember, it's free, but there's only 130 seats.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Whoever.
First come, first serve is what we used to say.
Yeah, the early bird catches the worm kind of a thing here.
And in this case, they catch the film.
That's right. Catch
the
jumper.
Well done.
lots of things going on about the ski area.
They've got a lot coming up.
The documentary, we had the fellow who wrote a book about Mohawk. We had a lot of ski stuff. And, of course, the jumps are coming.
They'll be coming in February.
End of this month.
End of this month, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, busy season up there.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Satry Hill.
Skiing, if you get some snow.
Yeah. Well, they make it.
They have always made miraculous.
Mohawk.
That is down to a science beyond.
I think we'd have to come in with like an August day would be the point where they might not be able to make it and maintain
it. Sort of 94 degrees.
It has been a source of real pride and...
Yes.
And it's not the problem.
That group, too, is a long time volunteer group that has survived through so many years when volunteer groups are disappearing. They've managed to keep it going.
Not just that, they know what they're doing.
That's right.
You go. Sorry.
That's right.
And they are in the midst of a capital campaign to raise money for redoing the intermediate jump or junior jump.
Indeed they are. I'll be talking to Willie later this week about what's going on.
Yeah, you'll get the scoop.
Yeah, we're very familiar this time of year, starting actually back in December when they start off with the ski sale and stuff.
Right.
They just go one thing to the next.
Very
so.
Active. Willie
comes
year round, then they're up there with their beer fest.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's the fall.
So Willie is a frequent flyer here.
Yeah, Willie is terrific at his. We're talking Willie Hallahan. Guys.
That's right. We're talking Willie Hallahan.
Talking Willie Hallahan, they should probably also know it as John Hallahan.
Yeah, well, no, I've never heard anybody call him John.
No, but if you're looking to find out more about him, then you have to find John.
You can't just
John
type,
William, I guess maybe.
Type in Willie. There he is.
No, it's one of those... you know how this goes. All right.
Okay. My fault about time, but that's okay. I'll squeeze it in one way or another.
Free. All right. I'm going to still say thank you so much, Ruth. Thank you so much, Mike. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American on Robin Hood Radio.